I invite you to close your eyes with me for a moment. Try to picture God in your imagination. What do you see? Is there an image for God that comes into mind? Or when you're alone praying, what do you see? Who are you looking at when you pray? You can open your eyes if you'd like. Were there images that you saw? I was sitting with Josh Phillip and Nate Phillip yesterday, and I asked them, when you pray, what do you see? And Josh said he sees the image of a shepherd holding a lamb when he prays. And Nate said his family has a portrait of Jesus in their home, and that's what he sees when he prays. But what do you see? What do you imagine when you pray to God? Are there images that come to mind? A king on a throne? Or light? Okay. God is light. Yeah. Maybe God is a mighty warrior to save us. Or a potter at the wheel molding us. There are so many images in the Bible for God. Do you ever imagine God as a gardener with dirty hands from working in the soil? This image of God as a gardener is throughout the Bible, even at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. It says the Lord planted a garden in the east of Eden. God is a gardener who plants a garden. And in the Psalms, the psalmist says, Lord, you take care of the land and water it. You make it very rich. You water its rows. You smooth out its bumps. You soften it with showers and bless it with crops. And we just heard Cora read from the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord. I watch over my vineyard. I water it all the time. I guard it day and night. Are there any gardeners in the house today? Any gardeners? Connie is pointing at Carl. Yeah, Carl, you're a gardener. Any other gardeners? Paul? Barbara? No. Yeah. All right, we've got a little gardener here, an aspiring gardener. Now, would you say, for those of you who keep a garden, would you say it's easy work? No. Very hard, Buddha says, very hard. Takes a lot of attention. You have to pay careful attention. Yeah. What are the things you have to do in the garden? Loosen the soil, make the soil better for plants? Yeah, pulling weeds, watering it, putting a fence around to protect it. There's a writer from the Czech Republic. His name was Karel Čapek. And he was a gardener, and he writes this about how we can recognize a real gardener. He says, when you go to the garden, you will find the gardener with his rump sticking up in the air somewhere among the perennials. And he shouts over his shoulder, I'll be there in a moment. Just wait, I have to plant one more rose. After a while, he gets up. And he shakes your hand. His hands are covered in dirt. He says, come and look at my garden. It's not big, but I love my garden. Oh, wait a moment. I've got to weed some grass here. Okay, come along. I want to show you this. Oh, I've got to loosen this soil here. I forgot to do that. Oh, this is the flower I want to show you. It's the best. Oh, I've got to tie up this flower. One moment. The real gardener is always paying attention to everything in his garden or her garden. It's like the gardener is lost in loving care for the garden. Do we imagine God that way? That God is so lost in love for the world that he's so involved, he's getting his hands dirty all the time. There's an author named Margaret Feinberg, and she went to visit a vineyard in California, where they grow grapes to make wine. And it's owned by a man named Christoph. And Christoph is so proud of his vineyard. It's not a big vineyard, but it is just perfect. Everything is cared for. And Margaret asked him what it took to grow such a healthy vineyard. And he said first he had to prepare the land. He had to remove all the rocks. He had to break up the soil. He had to make sure there was getting enough water. And then once the vines were growing, he had to pay close attention to every branch to cut this one or cut that one. And then he looks at every bunch of grapes to make sure they're healthy. And Margaret said, "That seems like it takes so much work and care." He said, "Well, that's what it means to be a good vine grower, that you really care about your vineyard and you love your vineyard." So how much more would that be true of God, our heavenly gardener, who pays attention to the details of our world and the details of our lives, who's always ready to get his hands dirty? So God is the gardener of all the earth. But in the midst of God's garden, God plants a special vineyard called Israel. And God loves Israel, and he wants it to grow much fruit. The prophet Isaiah says, "The vineyard of the Lord is the nation of Israel." And so God has good plans for Israel. But this vineyard doesn't bear the fruit God desires. They're not showing the fruits of justice, the fruits of mercy, the fruits of faithfulness. And so God makes a new vine grow from the root of Jesse. And this new vine is a vine that always bears good fruit in season. Do you know the name of this new vine? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the new vine in God's vineyard. And by God's amazing grace, we've been joined to this new vine. We've been grafted in. We've become part of this. This is a branch that's been grafted in. We were once growing wild somewhere, and God brought us and joined us to his people, made us part of his vineyard, so we can bear good fruit. The Apostle Paul writes to Christians like us. He says, "You are a wild olive branch." We're a bunch of wild people. And we've been joined to the tree now with other branches. Now we enjoy the life-giving sap of the olive tree root. That's Jesus Christ who brings us the life and the nourishment from the vine into us, the branches. So let's be clear in Jesus' teaching. What are the roles? Who's the gardener? God our Father is the gardener. Who's the vine? Jesus. And what are we? Branches, right? Right, it's pretty simple. But do we like to be branches? I don't always want to be a branch. Sometimes I want to be the gardener. I want to say what grows and where it grows. I want to be in control of my life and my circumstances. So I try to play the gardener sometimes. I work hard to make things happen. Is it because I don't trust God to take good care of my life and of the people I love? Do we trust the gardener? Another mistake we can make is trying to be the vine. We think we can grow fruit on our own by our own efforts. So we work really hard to bear fruit, to make things happen. Right now, Pastor Lynn is preaching a sermon in the other worship space. And his sermon is titled Productivity and Fruitfulness. These are different things, productivity and fruitfulness. Productivity is when we can get things done, when we're busy people. We're going here and we're going there. We make things happen. We can be productive on our own, but we can't be fruitful on our own. We can only be fruitful when we're connected to Jesus, the source of life. We can't bear good fruit without Jesus. Christoph, who owns that vineyard, said that the best vine growers in the world care more about quality than quantity. They care more about how good their grapes are than how many they can grow. They want the best quality. I wonder if that's true for us too. If what God really desires for us is not that we accomplish so many things, but that we do everything with the fruit of the Spirit, with love and with joy and with peace. Jesus says, you can't do anything without me, because we have no life apart from Jesus. So much depends on the gardener and on the vine. And here we are, the branches. What can the branches do? If you paid close attention, there are two things that happen to branches. Two things. Two possibilities. One is not so good. Branches can become firewood. They can be cut off and become firewood, or a branch can grow fruit. Those are the two options. I'm guessing we want to bear fruit, right? We don't want to be firewood, right? So what fruit do we bear? Jesus, I believe, is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit God desires from the branches. So how do we grow that fruit? Jesus says it 7 times in his teaching. How do we grow fruit? What must we do? By being connected to the vine. Jesus says, remain joined to me. Be connected to me. Abide in me. Make yourself at home with me. Remain in Jesus. That is how we can grow fruit as branches. So we can open ourselves to receive from the vine, to receive the life from Jesus and bear fruit, or we close ourselves and we try to do it on our own. But what happens? We just dry up inside. We dry up because we don't have the life in us apart from Jesus. You can't do anything without me. But being a branch isn't always easy. Did you notice that every branch is cut? Every branch. The branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and thrown away. But the branches that bear fruit are also cut. They're cut back. They're trimmed or pruned. It's not easy being a branch. It hurts. But that's the way branches grow more fruit. It doesn't seem to make sense. Why a branch, if it's growing fruit, why would you cut it back? But that's the way that more fruit can grow in the future. So that's what God the gardener does in our lives. He prunes us back. I shouldn't pretend like I know so much about gardening. I'm wondering what Carl is thinking. But I have a friend who's a gardener. He goes to this church, and he just got a book, The Royal Horticultural Society's Guide to Pruning and Training. So he knows what he's talking about. And this is what my friend Matt said. He said, pruning is probably my favorite part of gardening. One thing I find odd about gardeners, some gardeners, is a fear to prune. They think they will hurt or kill the plants. But you have to try really hard to kill a plant by pruning it. Plants respond to pruning by growing more. You're not hurting the plant by pruning it. And if you want lots of growth, lots of fruit, you have to prune it hard. That's not easy for branches to hear. It's not what we want to hear. In verse 2, the word for trim or prune is the same word as clean in verse 3. To trim or prune is the same as the word clean. That's what the gardener is doing in our hearts. He's cleaning us. Jesus uses that word one other time in John's gospel, in chapter 13, when he washes the disciples' feet. He says, "You've already been clean by the word I've spoken to you." We've already been trimmed or pruned when we've been baptized into Jesus. So we are clean, we are pruned. We've been saved. But the pruning keeps going on because we have to grow in holiness. There's more fruit to grow in our lives. So pruning is these small cuts over time, careful cuts in our lives, in our hearts. And when a branch is pruned, it's exposed, it's opened up to the world. That's painful, right? And that's the work the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. God is trying to open up the dark places that are closed off so something new can grow. This is the pattern of the Christian life, friends. Something has to die so something new can grow. This is the pattern of the Christian life, dying to sin and rising to new life, the cross and the resurrection. This is how we grow more fruit. So what's pruning like for us? I think from my own experience, pruning happens when I'm stopped and convicted of sin, and I hear a voice inside asking, "Andrew, why were you so impatient with that person? Why are you being so critical, so judgmental of them? What's going on? What needs to die in you so that you can bear the fruits of love and kindness? What's pruning like for you? When do you feel that? That conviction of sin?" It's painful to hear those questions. But they're good signs. They're signs that God is at work in us, pruning, trimming, cleaning, to bring new life. I don't think God causes all sorts of bad things to happen. But I know God can bring good out of bad situations. So some of the challenges in our life can be opportunities for growth. That God can take a bad situation and say, "I'll bring something good. I'll bring new life." At Christoph's vineyard, Margaret came to see a row of branches, like this picture here. These vines, they looked like they were dead. They'd been cut back so far. And she said, "Christoph, what were you doing? It looks like these are dead." And he said, "Oh, Margaret, wait. Come back in 4 weeks. You'll be amazed at the green on these branches and the life." And this is what comes after that pruning. New growth, new life. Even when we feel cut back inside, we can be patient and trust that God is doing a new work in us. So how do we stay open to the gardener's pruning? Well, I think we're doing it now here today. When we come for worship, when we come to confess our sins, to receive forgiveness, to hear God's word. After the sermon, we'll sing a song. We've sung it before. "I will hide your word inside my heart so that it may guide me." We let God's word get inside our hearts And God's word is sharp enough and careful enough to prune and to cut back the dead places, the sinful places, so new growth can come. And then we'll pray together after that. We'll turn to God to give thanks and also to ask for God's healing and blessing. And this should be part of our lives every day, not just Sunday. Reading scripture, praying to God, this should be part of our life every day. And then, after we pray, we'll come to this table like we do every Sunday. And at this table, we meet Jesus, the true vine. Jesus says in John chapter 6, "Anyone who eats my body and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in them." If we want to remain in Jesus, we come to the table. We receive this meal of grace, and the Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus. In this bread and this cup, we see and taste the true vine, Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus was cut off so that we could be joined in, so that we could have new growth and know abundant life. And at this table, Jesus promises us that he has gone ahead to the Father's table to prepare a place for us. And Jesus says, one day we'll share a feast together in the Father's new garden, in the new kingdom, the new heavens, and the new earth, and we will drink from the fruit of God's vineyard forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.